Welcome to Under the Influence, the podcast where we help chiropractors improve their communication skills so they can help more people and help people more.
I'm your host, Dr. Martin Harvey. I'm a chiropractor and I'm an expert in communicating the value of chiropractic. Today on Under the Influence, there's some good news. I am welcomed by Dr. David Kale, who is a practicing chiropractor here in Melbourne, Australia. He's a previous podcast guest and he is the president of the Australian Chiropractors Association. So when we are communicating the value of chiropractic, I think in many ways the biggest big picture of chiropractic is the idea that having a body that works at its best helps you do all the things that are important to you at the highest level. And in terms of the highest expression of that biggest idea, it's arguable that infants and children having access to chiropractic care is kind of the most important window, because how your body grows and develops and develops health in that early stage of your life has a sort of a determining impact on your health potential throughout your life. And so I love the idea of kids having access to chiropractic care and there being a public perception that is positive towards the value of chiropractic care for infants and children. And so the news that Dave has in terms of some changes in the Chiropractic Board of Australia's policies around chiropractic care, there's been some really good news over the last week, and the Australian Chiropractors Association have been working with the board over the last few years to really advocate for the members and our profession and the people that we serve to make sure that there's as broad as possible access to chiropractic care for kids. So if you're in Australia, it's particularly good news. If you are outside of Australia, then it's also good news because it filters into the overall public perception of the value of chiropractic for kids. And we are an interlinked community in many ways. And so if there are restrictions on access in one part of the world, then that's likely to flow on to restrictions elsewhere. So good news for chiropractic generally, particularly in the domain of taking care of kids. So please join me in welcoming to Under the Influence, Dr. David Kale.
G'day, Dave. Thanks for jumping on.
G'day, Martin. Thanks very much for having me on.
So exciting times. Some pretty good news over the last week or so.
Yeah, there has been some good news, Martin. It's good to be able to share some good news. As many of your listeners will know, but some may not, the Chiropractic Board of Australia, which is our registration board, have put down a revised policy on taking care of infants and children, which replaces the interim policy on spinal manipulation for infants and young children, which had been in place since 2019. And the revised one that they put out now is we're very happy with the result of that.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe just sort of thumbnail sketch of what the new one says in relation to the old one, and
sure,
you can explore things from there.
Right. Well, the biggest change is that the old one had it had a recommendation in place for chiropractors and indeed any health practitioners not to manipulate, using their words, children under two.
Yep.
Which really was quite a serious limitation of chiropractors. We have skills in that regard that we have honed over the course of our training and our years of experience and our years of our profession working with kids. And that was put in place in 2019. And thankfully that they no longer have that, which is the biggest change.
Yeah.
And in replacing that, they've replaced it with what are frankly a lot of really good common sense aspects to taking care of kids, which is you need to be working within your field of your scope of practice, within your training, within your expertise, and you can't be going outside of that. And taking care of children, their spines, how their nervous system's developing and so on is what we do. Things that are outside of that aren't what we do.
Yeah.
And we need to, it talks about adapting care to the individual, which of course is what every chiropractor should be doing, whether that's a one-year-old or a 95-year-old or anything in between. So it's all just really good, as I said, common sense that we all should take into account. And what we really like about it is that it's about our profession, including our regulatory board, governing ourselves and showing that we can do that responsibly and effectively, so that we need no more oversight or no further regulation from government.
Yeah.
And we feel the registration board has managed this well to achieve that.
Yeah.
They sit in a difficult position sometimes, Martin, because they do have government and the public service to that government on one side and the profession on the other side. And while their remit is clear in terms of creating and supporting there being a very safe and effective workforce, they do sit in the middle where those on one side don't really understand a lot about chiropractic care.
Yeah.
And those of us on the other side understand a lot and perhaps don't really understand a lot about government.
Yeah.
So,
and I think it's really important to put in place, like sometimes chiropractors in the field feel like, well, the registration board should represent the profession. And it's like, well, that's not actually their job. Their job and the way that the legal framework works is their fundamental job is to protect the public. And so it's important that, you know, part of serving the public is that you have healthcare professionals who are there to serve you. And but it's also almost with that sort of conservative bent of, if we're uncertain of whether something is dangerous or not, we're going to err on the side of assuming that it might be. And so I think sometimes people in the profession are advocating for, you know, you should be advocating more for the profession rather than their actual job, which is advocating for the public.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Martin. And often those two things go together.
Yeah.
If they're advocating for us to be working to be supported and working in a healthy way and according to our training and so on, well, they're doing the same thing. They're doing both things. The ACA sees our role is to represent our members, obviously, and represent our members and a large proportion of the chiropractic profession to the registration board and to the politicians and policymakers where we can. Because when you're in a regulatory position, you're often, they deal with the difficult things. They deal with cases where chiropractors have stepped out of line or done something wrong, or and there's a lot more of that perhaps happens that most of us don't know about. So naturally you're influenced by your environment. So it's possible that being in a position like that, you get a very different, or your view of the whole profession, it runs the risk of being a little skewed, because you're only dealing with the problems and seeing the problems, and you're having to manage the problems. Whereas, you know, the vast majority of the chiropractic profession and chiropractors out there are doing a great job and helping a lot of people. And at the ACA, it's our job to really keep highlighting that to people in positions of influence, so that there's a balance there.
And I think it's important for those of us who view chiropractic as broadly having these whole body health benefits, and that as an extension of that, children and infants should have access to that if they want to live the healthiest possible lives, that we look at the history of what happened here. And there's a whole group of people who either actively against that perspective or are skeptical of that perspective, who are often sort of looking for angles to attack chiropractic. And sometimes I think we make it pretty easy for them by doing dumb things. And, you know, kind of the genesis of this 2019, this 2019 rule was essentially there were people who were saying chiropractors are doing things that are clearly, and, you know, it was driven by chiropractors posting things that they might perhaps best have not posted on social media of them taking care of kids, and that was then used to sort of create concern that there was all these unsafe practices. And then in the wake of that, there were people within government who said, hang on a minute, what's going on here? There are people who, at least on the surface, seem to be credible in terms of the healthcare environment saying that there's not kosher things going on. We should push pause on all of this and get an independent inquiry, hence the Safer Care Victoria inquiry. And in the meantime, you as a registration board perhaps should just say, look, if it's not clear that this is safe and effective, we should put some guardrails around it. Is that, do you feel like that's an accurate way of framing what happened?
Yes, I do, Martin. And we need to be mindful of that still, because the final report from Safer Care Victoria review was handed down in late 2019. It was handed back to ARMAC. So ARMAC, Martin, which is the Australian Health Minister's Advisory Committee, has now become the HCEF, which is the Health Chief Executives Forum, which is basically the departments, the health departments from all the states and territories who get together and decide on things. And they do have power, and we mustn't forget that. And their deliberation on the final handing down of what Safer Care Victoria did has not been sort of given to the public or given to us yet. So that is still potentially up in the air. So there's a couple of important things that come out of that. The registration board must be seen as doing an effective job, and cannot be seen to be failing in its duty to regulate our profession, because if it is, they will be, someone will come over the top of them. We do not want that. The second thing is
certainly not, if we, like you spoke about earlier, if the end goal is we want everybody, including children and infants, to have access to safe, effective chiropractic care, then it's important that we work within the framework so that somebody who doesn't understand it comes over the top and says, you know, I don't use it, therefore nobody else needs to use it. So, you know,
that's vital. And the second thing is to remember and understand and be realistic that we have detractors out there. We have underminers out there who, as you said earlier, would be only too happy to find something that could that they could use in against us in this decision-making process. And that's why I put a call out to members not to post videos of themselves adjusting children, particularly adjusting children. I'm not a fan of videos of adjusting full stop, because they run the risk of being taken wholly out of context. But particularly adjusting children, it's you don't see dentists putting tooth extractions on video on social media or you know, birth midwives putting births on. So, I mean, it's just, I don't think it represents us in a good light. And that wouldn't be so bad if we were on a level playing field. But let's make no mistake, it's not a level playing field. And we do not want to give our detractors ammunition, because that deliberation is still up in the air. Of course, the more time that passes, the more that Senator Jenny McCarcox's comments and
so for people who weren't in Victoria at the time, Jenny McCarcox at the time of this incident blowing up was the health minister in Victoria and was, I guess, sort of responsible for turning it from a little local concern into something that ascended to this level of government concern.
Yes. So the more time that passes and the more that the registration board is seen as the effective regulatory body, then the more her comments and various other commentators' comments that happened at the time become marginalised and be pushed into the background. And we can go along our merry way and do what we do without someone coming over the top, which is really important for us.
So a couple of things that I'd like to say, I guess, in terms of lessons that I'm taking from this, and I'd be sort of curious in your reflection as well, is first of all, we are a profession, and so it behooves us to behave professionally. Secondly, yeah. What you do locally in your practice has bigger implications. So the things that the way that you portray the profession can impact not just how professional you look, but how professional your profession looks in your state. But even bigger than that, what happens in Victoria has therefore impacted the whole of Australia. And also that impacts the potential for regulation everywhere else in the world. The same detractors around the world are using the same playbook in the US, in the UK, in Europe, in Asia. So we need to be super mindful, because it isn't that level playing field. The next thing knocking on from that, like the focus of my podcast is typically communication. And to me, this is an example of communication that you need to, that one of the keys to effective communication is being mindful of using the communication style that's appropriate for the context. And so, yeah, you can have a less formal video, but when it comes to clinical concerns, that there's a communication style, and people won't necessarily essentially the trademark of professionalism is a style of communication which is understated, and it's reflective of evidence-based practice. So we're using this language of restraint, and I think that kind of goes to what you're talking about in terms of, yes, let's advocate in our social media for the value of chiropractic, but let's do some restraint, and within that idea of not overclaiming or portraying things in an unprofessional way.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Martin. I think we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard.
Yeah.
Because let's kind of face it, if a chiropractor does something considered unethical, it taints the whole profession.
Yeah. Yeah.
To those who aren't going to us, to those who don't understand us, which is a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we need, because we're not the predominant paradigm out there, because we do have a different voice, and we proudly have that different voice and a different message about healthcare coming from within, about building your health individually. And because we're not the entrenched orthodoxy, we need to hold ourselves to a higher account, because we're part of our profession. As you say, we are a profession, and we have a responsibility to our profession. And if we all do that, our profession cannot help but grow, because our what we do speaks for itself.
Absolutely. And I think, so to me, the other thing that comes out of this is the value, if we're wanting to have these broader influences, I think sometimes in these situations where we can clearly see that this claim that chiropractic is unsafe and et cetera is false because of our experience in our practice, sometimes there's a call for, well, we need to be warriors for chiropractic and go out and scream and shout and take them on, and it's a battle and those sort of things. And I think there is a place for strong advocacy. Having said that, the way that politics works is through relationships. And so I think it's a really important thing that if you want the best for chiropractic and you want the best for people to have access to chiropractic in the broadest possible way, that association membership, being a member of the ACA, or if you're, you know, in a different country, whatever the association that represents chiropractic in that broad health context, you need to be a member so that you support the people that have a place at the table where these things are discussed. So it's one of those things where, you know, if you're not an ACA member, but you want to have access to, you want people to have access to chiropractic care for kids, then your behavior is inconsistent with your desires. The ticket to relevance in those domains is being a member of the peak body.
Yeah, thanks, Martin. No, absolutely. There's a lot that goes on that most members won't know about, and that's fine. It's just the way it has to be. But yes, we are in there advocating for our members and for the profession in general, and membership is crucial. We cannot represent the profession if we don't have a big enough percentage of the profession as members. Yeah. So every membership counts. And what you were saying earlier about your communication, everything about your communication podcast is that it's contextual. Yeah. And yes, building relationships within government and with policymakers and so on is all dependent upon a very sometimes nuanced approach, sometimes a subtle approach. And that doesn't mean that you're weak or you're not advocating strongly for the things we would all like to see, but you need to be smart about it. And really it's our sort of elected representatives that really need to learn how to do that the best that we can. And the rank and file membership relies upon us to do that.
Important times. So yeah, exciting to have some good news to share with the profession. And I think it bears repeating that while this is happening within Australia, it's also broadly a supportive gesture to the rest of the world. Because one of the interpretations that I think was worrying about the initial 2019 ruling or suggestion was this statement, I guess, it sort of implied that there was a high probability that chiropractic was in some way unsafe, that it said, all right, well, no, you can't do this for this group. And even though there, you know, you could pass apart the exact wording of that and say, well, look, you know, there's more to what we provide than this one intervention, and it's arguable whether we provide that intervention, it's actually just clearer to have the policy as it is now, where it says, yeah, that you, it's an appropriate thing for chiropractors to take care of infants and children. And here's the framework. Yes, you should have the appropriate training and clinical skills. And if you don't, if you're not current with that, refer to somebody that does. Mm-hmm. And it should be within an evidence-informed and evidence-based context. And if you're promoting or advertising that, then you should, it should be within the national law that requires certain standards for you to advertise that. And so I think having that essentially says this is no different to any other form of care that a chiropractor would provide.
Yeah, absolutely, Martin. Could I also give an example of something else that's going on at the moment? The federal government has, that I think many of your listeners might be interested in. The federal government has instituted a new review called Unleashing the Power of Health Professionals, bracket scope of practice. And the ACA is at the table on that. Importantly, in a meeting we had recently with the people running that review, they were at pains to say that this is not about limiting scope of practice. This is about helping healthcare professionals, all healthcare professionals, work up to their scope so that people in the community get better service and better value for service. And what was crucial was the point made by Mark Cormack, who was heading up this review, is that that healthcare should be about and the delivery of healthcare and the funding of that delivery should be about competency rather than title.
Excellent.
That was very refreshing to hear, and that's certainly what we're talking about. And so things like the inequities in referring for imaging, inequities in referral for specialist consultation, etc., they're all on the table. Right. And Medicare funding of such, they're all on the table. So the government are showing some interest in changing the landscape out there, where one profession doesn't have a complete monopoly, which, yeah, as we know, is not really the case anyway. It's just they have a monopoly on the funding.
Yeah, yes.
And So there's a lot of good things happening in it, and it speaks again to what you said before about membership. We're not at that table if we don't have a large representative population of the overall chiropractors in Australia. So that's where thank you to everyone listening who is a member. We appreciate it, and we're in there fighting for you.
Excellent. So thanks again to Dave, to you and the team, who I know have been working on these issues tirelessly in the background. And as you said, many of the things that you're doing and it's not appropriate for them to be kind of shared more broadly, but it's this tireless work that really serves both us as a profession and the millions of people who benefit from chiropractic care around the world. So thank you for all that you do. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Martin. And I appreciate that. And I really appreciate what you do, because in what you do, you're upskilling chiropractors, particularly in the area of communication, which is so important in terms of helping us to get our message across and be professional in how we do that and be effective in how we do that. So I really, I love your podcast and listen to it all the time. So thanks to you.
If you like today's episode, then you will love the Retention Recipe 2.0. It's an online workshop that is broken into 33 lessons and has over 7 hours of content, which will teach you to confidently communicate the value of proactive chiropractic in the first 12 visits. So if we want to have long-term retention, if we want people to stay with us for months, years, and reap the really amazing health benefits that happen with long-term chiropractic care, we need to set the foundation for that in the first 12 visits. So the approaches in the Retention Recipe 2.0 are based on state-of-the-art influence strategies that are effective, ethical, and they're enjoyable to use. They will help you to have more fun, less stress, and increase your retention, which means more practice growth and less always being on the hunt for new people. Check it out in the link in the show notes.